This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. You know when you're at a party and someone casually drops a travel finance tip that makes you rethink every trip you've ever booked? That's the energy Smart Travel brings. Except it's backed by serious research and delivered in a way that's actually fun to listen to. They cover topics like which flight deals are actually deals and which are just clickbait, how to get value from your points instead of settling for that tiny reward at checkout, and the smartest ways to book flights without laying that exhausting game of guess the cheapest day. If you care about traveling well and not overspending to do it, this is a show you'll want in your rotation. Travel smarter and spend less with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? DeAndre Koch here for another weekly edition of our Quick Hits, our up-to-date news in the world of points and miles and travel. Have a few updates for today. I'm just going to go ahead and jump right into. Before I get to those, I want to talk about Built Rent Day and how that went. This was my first Built Rent Day, as I know it was for probably many of you all that recently got the Built Palladium card. And as you guys probably heard through my issues with getting the Built card, getting it delayed, if you saw the YouTube video collab that we did with Let's Get to the Points. We talked my Built trauma, as you want to call it that. But I will say, since having the Built card, I've really enjoyed it. It's pretty much been my go-to card for everything not dining related or groceries, I should say, as well. That's still my city premier, but I'm loving the 2x on everything. Between the sign-up bonus, the generator deposit, and just a bunch of other expenses, like when I just maxed out my Hilton points for the year and other things, I racked up a little over 95,000 Built points by the time we got to Built Rent Day. And so when that 100% transfer bonus option opened up, which I'm pretty sure I will hit platinum with what I will spend this year with my Built card, but obviously I'm gold right now, and I use my Built cash to get to platinum, I went ahead and sent all 95,000 points over to Japan Airlines, 100% transfer bonus, and have a good amount of points there now. So essentially about 190,000 points sitting at Japan Airlines. I was debating whether I wanted to do this or not. I'm not a huge fan of speculative transfers. In fact, I often talk about not doing them. The really only other time I did a speculative transfer was when we had my wife, Taryn. She sent, actually, I think it was about the same amount, 95,000 points from Amex over through to Alaska Airlines when they had the capability to do so with them merging with Hawaiian Airlines. So we still have those miles sitting over there. Still have no specific plans on how we're going to use those, but those are still there. The Japan Airlines, obviously, I know there's a 3-year rule on that, but we really want to get to Japan. And I did a decent amount of research on just how often was I able to find 110K Japan Airlines flights from JFK to Tokyo, and also DFW to Tokyo, but JFK is really easy for us to get to. And I found a bunch. And so I'm very, very confident, pending some things that might change, which I'm going to get to in a little bit here, I'm very confident that we'll be able to use these miles. I might need a little bit to top off for at least a one-way in business class for both of us to Japan. Now, also, more than likely, if we're going to Japan, we're going to have another country in there as well. So we're probably going to visit some other country and then maybe find our way back through a Singapore or a Hong Kong or something along those lines. So I don't really worry too much about the round trip like most people would, because we pretty much plan our flights and our travels around what deal we can find to get there and get back with the least amount of points. In a perfect world, we'll find one of those saver rates where it's only 55,000 points per person or 85,000 points per person one way. But I'm really planning on using this specifically to actually fly JAL and not partner deal like with Emirates or something along those lines. So super excited about that. Now, talking about Japan Airlines, Rove Miles just made a big move where they've added Japan Airlines Mileage Bank as a new transfer partner themselves. And they didn't just add them, they launched with a 50% transfer bonus through March 31st. That means instead of the normal 1-to-1 transfer ratio, you can transfer 1,000 Rove miles and receive 1,500 JAL miles through the end of the month. I think this is significant for a couple reasons. First, Japan Airlines has only recently started partnering with transferable points programs. So we're talking Capital One and Bilt specifically. And Rove's standard 1-to-1 transfer ratio is better than Capital One's 2-to-1.5 ratio to JAL. And this 50% transfer bonus is stronger than what you could typically do outside of the rent day promotion that we saw for that single day. Now, one of the quick reminders on Rove, if you're not familiar with what Rove is, and I'm actually trying to get them on a future show at some point, is it's essentially a flight and hotel booking platform where you can earn transferable miles on travel bookings, even loyalty-eligible hotel stays, plus shopping-style bonuses as well. Now, going back to one of the reasons why I caution and why I was hesitant before transferring to Japan Airlines is that their miles expire after 3 years no matter what, and there's no activity reset. And the program officially limits your redemptions to family members. Technically, if Tara and I weren't married, well, then we wouldn't be able to actually have taken advantage of me booking her points deals for Japan Airlines. Thankfully, we are now. And because I'm very confident we're going to go to Japan within the next 3 years, I was very confident. This was a very high confidence transfer for me to actually go ahead and make. But you're going to have to decide for yourself, is it going to be worthwhile? I know, of course, the big rent day is gone already, but perhaps even with this transfer bonus from Rove, is it worthwhile? But there's one more wrinkle in the Japan Airlines story, and this was really cool. And Susan in our WhatsApp community, I appreciate you sharing this because it really gives some food for thought. And it's that Japan Airlines released its Management Vision 2035 plan. And if you haven't heard about this, there's a few interesting nuggets here. First, JAL plans to double the number of miles issued through partnerships and point exchanges between 2025 and 2030. And remember, they've already started with that because they have Capital One, Bilt, and now Rove. So that tells you one thing, they want more miles in circulation. Now, historically, when airlines aggressively increase the number of miles being issued, that can eventually lead to either higher award prices, reduced availability, or I would say probably both. And so the plan also mentions introducing domestic fuel surcharges starting in 2027 and targeting higher margins across their domestic network. So I want to be very clear, none of this is a confirmed devaluation announcement. But I do think it's a reminder that this is very possible. And with these additions, especially with what Bilt just did in Rove, I wouldn't be surprised if we actually see not what I would consider a devaluation from JAL, or even just the fact that they've flooded the field with so many points, it's going to be so much harder to get these saver rates that were such a sweet spot over the last few years. So if you did just do what I did, and you speculatively transferred a huge chunk of points to JAL because of these transfer bonuses. Again, I already mentioned the 3 years cap, but also keep in mind that award space could get tighter as more partners come online. And the long-term strategy suggests that they're focused on profitability. So that it's hard to tell whether that means the points are going to be valued less, we're going to see rates go up, or what's going to happen there. So again, we love these transfer bonuses, but I do think it's important to look at the airline's bigger strategy. And thank you, Susan, for sharing that in our community, because I do think this puts probably in my mind a little bit more urgency on wanting to make sure that we lock in some Japan Airlines bookings, even if it is for next year under their current program before things change. Now, Chase just added a new Ultimate Rewards transfer partner. They added Wyndham Rewards. Transfers are 1-to-1, so 1,000 Chase points will get you 1,000 Wyndham points. Officially, Chase says that transfers can take up to 7 business days, but I know some people have already tested this, and the points showed up instantly like most other transfers, so we shouldn't have to worry about that. Now, I think from a standpoint of should you actually do this, I would estimate probably not. People were excited about this, I know, because of the changes with Hyatt. But even with Hyatt's upcoming award chart changes, transferring to Hyatt will still almost certainly give you better value than with Wyndham. And Chase's airline partners are generally still much better options as well. Wyndham also regularly sells their own points for around 7 cents per point. So if you need Wyndham points, really, you probably would be better off buying them outright than transferring valuable Ultimate Rewards. I mean, realistically, you can cash your Ultimate Rewards points out for like 1 cent per point. So you literally could cash your reward points out and then use that money to buy your Wyndham points, then with more value than if you just transfer directly to Wyndham. Now, I think if a huge transfer bonus kicked in, like 50% or 100% or something crazy, then this would be more of a nice-to-have scenario as opposed to, like, you absolutely must do it. But again, those are the things I would keep in mind. IHG is back with another 100% bonus sale on purchase points. This one actually runs through March 17th. With the bonus, you can buy IHG 1 rewards points for as low as half a cent per point, and you need to buy at least 26,000 points in one transaction to be able to get the full bonus at that rate. Now, they do this quite often. I think last year they might have done this like 6 or 7 times. This is the only time I would recommend buying IHG points. This is when we do ourselves during this 100% bonus. We have not bought our IHG points for the year. We did buy the Hilton, as I just mentioned, but we have not bought our IHG yet, but I definitely plan to make sure we do. You can buy up to 200,000 points per calendar year, and just so you know, they do not count towards elite status as well. Now, going back to the Hyatt conversation a little bit, since I think there's been time for the dust to settle, the shock to have, I'll say waned, but for people to kind of think through things, I actually had to cut that announcement in to my last recording, last week's Quick Hits, because I had already recorded my Quick Hits, but that was such a major announcement that I had to get that one cut in and fed because it was so major. So after giving a little bit of thought, and if you've been living under a rock, they, as I mentioned already, they announced a new award chart launching in May 2026. And technically, they're still keeping a chart, so it's not fully dynamic pricing, but there's nearly 80 different possible price points across different categories. So there's a lot more swing from a low side, but more specifically a high side, as much as almost 70% increase in points for certain properties. That is a major downside or bummer, I should say. So what's the thoughts I have here? I think high-end properties, we know prices are going to go up. So what should we do? Should we just flush all of our Hyatt points now? Should we dump everything into Hyatt to book everything now? What should we do? I really think that if you've been eyeing an aspirational redemption, think Park Hyatts in Paris, Milan, Kyoto, Hawaii. Think peak season in Colorado. Like I said last year at the beautiful Park Hyatt Beaver Creek, we're staying in a couple weeks at the Grand Hyatt Vail. I think it probably makes sense to book those now to plan ahead for the future, because those are the types of properties most likely are going to hit that new 75,000 point top tier during like peak demand. But here's, I think, the key takeaway. This is not a burn all of your points moment. I think the data shows that the median value of Hyatt points has historically hovered around 1.7 to 2 cents per point across brands. The biggest hit will likely be to those extreme outsized redemption, those 2.5 to 3 cent per point unicorn stays, but I don't think it's going to necessarily affect the middle of the road redemptions that much. The lower and mid-tier properties, including a lot of Hyatt Place and Hyatt House stays, should still have some pretty great value. Well, obviously not this very moment is it great to travel through the Middle East, so I'll be very fair about that. But a lot of properties in like Qatar, Oman, Dubai, those are some phenomenal properties that would be category 6s, 5, 6, or 7s here easily in the States, and they're categories like 1, 2, and 3. I think those are still going to be super valuable. And keep in mind the category 1 through 4 free night certificates could actually still remain very useful, especially if pricing jumps up on those hotels in that lower category. We can still use those certificates because they're not going to have a cap on the points required to use them. I do think the bigger ripple effect, honestly, though, is Chase Ultimate Rewards, because Hyatt has been the crown jewel transfer partner for Chase. So if you're seeing these outsized Hyatt redemptions shrink, I do think Chase points might feel a lot less exciting. And with what Bilt's pulling out right now, you might see a lot more people thinking of transferring or getting more in the Bilt ecosystem. Of course, Chase helps with the business cards and everything else, but I do think you're going to see the value of Chase points probably wane a little bit as far as how much bang for your buck can you get, especially if you're really focused on Hyatt.
You've heard me talk about Bilt as the loyalty program that lets you earn points on rent wherever you live, and they just leveled up even more. As of 2026, homeowners can also earn up to 1.25x points on their mortgage payments. This is thanks to Bilt's three new credit cards, the Palladium Card, Obsidian Card, and Blue Card. All three turn your housing payments, rent or mortgage, into flexible rewards, so you can choose the card that fits your lifestyle without missing out on points and exclusive benefits. Bilt points can be redeemed at top airlines and hotels, Amazon.com purchases, future rent payments, and even more. Bilt points have also been ranked by top publications as the industry's most valuable points currency. Your housing payment is already your biggest expense. Make it your most rewarding. Find the card that fits your lifestyle and apply today at joinbilt.com/journey. That is joinbilt.com/journey. Make sure to use our URL so they know that we sent you. Terms and limitations apply. Subject to approval and eligibility, Bilt cards are issued by Column NA, member FDIC, pursuant to license from MasterCard International Incorporated.
Couple of other things here. There's a new Amazon Amex offer out, and usually this is a great time to pull a trigger on using like one or two of your Amex points to get a big discount on Amazon purchase. But this is a little bit of a different offer. The offer gives you 1,500 bonus membership rewards points when you redeem 7,143 points using the Shop with Points function at Amazon. And you can do that up to three times. Now, again, I almost never, ever, 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 ever recommend using your membership or your Amex points to buy things at Amazon, but occasionally they have deals where if you use a couple points, like literally one or two points, you can get 50% off what you're buying when you pay the rest in cash. So in those times, it can make sense. But going back to this whole deal about redeeming 7,143 points and everything else, if you do the math, if you redeem 7,143 points and get 1,500 points back, your net cost is 5,600 points roughly. I'm not going to get into the specifics because these are getting jumbled. But here's the catch. When you redeem that 7,000 points, it only covers $50 in Amazon purchases. So even after the rebate, you're effectively using 5,600 membership rewards points to save $50. And so you're only getting like 0.89 cents per point. And the short version is, as I've talked on the show often, you want to get closer to 2 cents of value for your points. 0.89 isn't even one, doesn't really make sense. So if you see this offer, I know the math may seem like it could be a great deal. I would just go ahead and say avoid it. The Amex Business Hilton card has an increased sign-up bonus of 175,000 Hilton points and a free night certificate that I know a lot of people in our WhatsApp chat have been talking about or are super interested in, have been debating on whether to go for it or not. I think it's a great offer. I don't think I'm going to go for it. I've got multiple subs and other things going on right now, just a lot on my plate. But I do think this could be a really catchy opportunity to get a boost in Hilton points. And again, that free night certificate could be massively helpful. Chase has a 20% transfer bonus to British Airways, Iberia, and Aer Lingus Avios through March. Now, that being said, if you do that, you actually have access to everything in the Avios world, which is Qatar Air, Finnair, and Vueling. So that could be an opportunity if you were looking anywhere in the Avios platform to transfer points into. And then lastly, Capital One has a 30% transfer bonus to preferred hotels, I prefer, and that goes through April 1st. So that makes the transfer ratio 1 to 2.6, because keep in mind, Capital One transfers 1 to 2 to I prefer. Only last thing I'll throw out there, if you've been wondering where to get access to the WhatsApp community chat, there are two ways to do so. One is if you subscribe to our newsletter, you'll get access through there. There's a welcome email that has the link. And or two, if you join our Facebook group, we have it pinned in our Facebook chat. I do not put the link to the WhatsApp chat in the show notes and everything else publicly for multiple reasons. A, that helps to weed out spam, because we still, even without that, we still have a couple of bots that come through that our admins kick out. So shout out to you admins in our group. I say ladies, because they're all ladies. You guys have been incredible. But then also, I want to make sure that we have people that are consuming our content and aren't just here to ask questions on payroll and then bounce or whatever it may be. Want people that are part of the community, whether it's through our Facebook group, our WhatsApp community, which is much more active than our Facebook group, and getting our newsletter, you know, catching the show, all different things. So if you're wondering how to get access to the WhatsApp community, it's simple. Just sign up for our newsletter or sign up for our Facebook group as well. That is everything, guys. I hope everyone has a fantastic week. fantastic weekend. As always, want to end with a note of gratitude. Appreciate each and every one of you, all the listeners, all the comments, the DMs, the likes, the thumbs up, all of the things, all the communication in the WhatsApp group and everything else. Again, you guys keep the fuel and the fire going week in, week out when I've got a million other things on my plate, running a financial planning practice during tax season. Things get busy. But again, I definitely appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you so much. Hope each and every one of you have a fantastic week, and we will catch you on the next episode. Take care.
Hi, I'm Mike Siegel, and man, oh man, do I love talking about travel. You think I'd get enough of it, touring the world as a stand-up comedian, or just going off on my own personal adventures around the world? No, when I get home, I still have to talk about it. That's how much I love travel. So every week I sit down with a friend, a travel expert, influencer, expat, or anyone from any walk of life who shares my passion for travel. So if you want to hear a fun, casual, off-the-cuff chat about travel from people who love it, listen to the Travel Tales Podcast with me, Mike Siegel, wherever you get your podcasts.
Quick question. Do you want travel tips from people who have actually been there?
Our show is co-hosted by Tim Johnson, an award-winning travel journalist who's been to more than 145 countries around the world. And I'm David Brody, the other co-host who's been travel podcasting for 20 years while traveling to 50-plus countries around the world.
In about 10 or 20 minutes per show, we break down a destination with the kind of insight you usually only get from long guidebooks or hours of research.
So if you want expert advice, zero fluff, and travel inspiration that you can actually use, search for Travel in 10 wherever you listen to podcasts, or you can also find us at boyescape.com.